What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List podcast. It's Brian and Mario here to break down the Week 15 shenanigans. Did you win? Did you lose? Did you not even have to play because you had the bye week? Mario, how you doing today?
Brian, I'm doing well. I'm not one of the lucky ones that got a bye week, but I did sneak a couple wins at least. So we're still alive. So hey, turns out I know a thing or two. We'll get to my victory laps. We'll get to the calls I got wrong that may have cost you your fantasy matchup, but well, there's a time and a place for that, but we're doing okay.
Absolutely. Whether you limped through, you made it all outright, or you're hoping for a little Monday night magic, you are listening to this Tuesday. We're recording this right before the Monday, so we haven't seen. We're here to talk to you about the booms, the busts, the excitement that has happened so far through Week 15. We'll, of course, cover all of the injuries after that, and then the waiver wire for those, I mean, what, it's about four teams in every league? Those last few teams looking for those final pickups. Maybe, I mean, it's probably a lot of defenses and tight end streamers, but we're here to do it
kickers.
All. Kickers. Kickers. Oh, can't forget about kickers. They're people, too, from what I've heard. I saw that on a bumper sticker.
Oh, so, goodness.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and start with these booms. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Mario, start us off.
Yeah, I mean, this one could be arguably one that I kind of got wrong. I think we talked about how we expected this game to just be kind of like a snooze fest, you know, a close one, not as much a blowout. But Trevor Lawrence, I think I saw he had, what, six total touchdowns? Yeah, six total, five in the air, one on the ground, 330 yards passing, 50 yards rushing. Easy quarterback one, finished with 44 points. And he's not the only guy that had 40-plus this week, but at least for quarterbacks he is. So Trevor Lawrence, I mean, I'll admit he's on the bench in one of my leagues just because it was like between him or Darnold or the Brock Purdy. So to me, they're all the same guy. Not this week, they weren't. So Trevor Lawrence, QB1.
Just an unreal performance. Absolutely unreal. I believe I saw some the broadcast talking about the first quarterback in history throw for five touchdowns, rush for a touchdown, and have 50 yards rushing as well. Just unbelievable performance. Bo Nix will be the one I have to talk about. I kind of poo-poo on him a little bit, so of course I need to make sure I boost him up when he gets it right. And this week, he definitely got it right. QB2, his first QB1 performance since week 8, 23 for 34, 300 yards passing, four touchdowns, no picks, and then, you know, 10 yards on the ground. Nothing crazy, but it got you an extra point. Finish it out with 29 on the week. Bo Nix taking care of business there against Green Bay.
That's right. And just a funny thing, those 10 rushing yards came on seven attempts. So just a funny number there. I don't know what happened. I'll have to check out what we saw.
Right there. Yeah. Kirk Cousins, of course, I mean, does what Kirk Cousins does. He shops at Kohl's and he takes care of business when it comes to the Buccaneers. Three touchdowns, 373 yards. Kirk Cousins lit it up on Thursday night. Brock Purdy comes in at QB4. We got Jared Goff there at QB5 and a exciting one there against the Rams.
Yep, I like that one was honestly a shootout. And Matt Stafford also up there in the top. Where did he finish? 11, so just outside the top 10. I was just going to say, Kirk Cousins had 44 passing attempts. So, I mean, I can't believe his arm stayed on for all that. Like, credit to him.
He's been saving it up. That's why he's been playing the way he was the prior weeks. He was ready for Tampa Bay. Josh Allen comes in at QB6. The quarterback formerly known as 9, J.J. McCarthy, comes in at 7. C.J. Stroud at 8, Jackson Dart at 9, Jalen Hurts at 10, Matthew Stafford 11, and Jacoby Brissett, as of pre-Monday Night Football, the first quarterback to have a top 12 performance against the Houston Texans. Jacoby Brissett looking right there. And then Drake May at 13.
Unbelievable about Jacoby Brissett. I saw a stat. I forgot where, so I can't credit them. Apologies. But Brissett is the first quarterback to have three passing touchdowns on the Houston defense this year. So unbelievable. And it does unfortunately seem like he'll be right outside that QB1 range, but terrific performance we've seen from him.
He was good. He was good. Took care of business as far as I'm concerned. Let's go to the running backs. Who is the running back you want to highlight today?
Yeah, you know, this guy, I'm going to keep the Jacksonville train going. But, I mean, Travis Etienne, like, granted, he didn't do it on the ground. He had 12 rushing attempts for 32 yards, not even 3 yards a carry. His longest of the day was an 8-yard carry. How is this guy in the top two? Well, I'll tell you, he had four targets, three catches. Those three catches led to three touchdowns. Three catches, 73 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, he could have had the fourth touchdown if he caught one more ball, it seems like, but just unbelievable. Really terrific performance, and I think he's going to be really strong rest of fantasy season, so good name to keep an eye on.
We talked about him on the start-sit show. Like, great matchup. We thought he was going to get it done. Yeah. I just thought he was going to do it via the ground. Didn't know it was going to be coming through the air in the form of three touchdowns.
Yep. 12 attempts, 32 yards. The 32 yards is truly an outlier. I'm talking like you have to really scroll all the way down to Malik Davis at running back 21 at this point to have fewer rushing yards.
That's crazy.
Yep.
James Cook coming in as the RB1 as of now. Helped the Bills come back from down 21 points. The New England Patriots looking for a 35-31 win. Had 100 yards, over 100 yards rushing, four receiving yards, and then, of course, the three touchdowns to go along with it. Travion Henderson, dude. Talk about a performance. 148 on the ground, 13 through the air, and then two more rushing touchdowns. This guy, like, talked about it being a plus matchup for him. You know, Buffalo, they are being eviscerated by the running backs right now, and Henderson's the type that would just take advantage of that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you said it, 14 rushing attempts for 148 yards, like the opposite of the guy we just talked of, ETN, 2.7 yards per attempt versus Henderson's 10.6, averaging over a first down every time he had the ball in his hand. So really good. We talked about they saved him for the playoffs. Maybe they just saved him for the fantasy playoffs. Maybe he's going to be the guy that brings you the chip. So definitely a name to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. Bijan Robinson, 93 on the ground, 82 through the air, plus a touchdown comes in at RB4. Tyrone Tracy, two touchdowns Junior. For him as well, coming in at RB5, looking good. Yep. Josh Jacobs scored a couple touchdowns there. I mean, we were sweating Josh Jacobs start-sit decisions all week, and he comes in and finishes as RB6 on the week.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. I had to pick up Wilson and everywhere just for then all of a sudden Wilson was a late tummy ache. Seemed like he wasn't going to be out there, but none of it mattered because Josh Jacobs played.
DeAndre Swift coming in at RB7 on the week. Two rushing touchdowns, 98 on the ground. He's looked good. RB7, 25-2 over the last 3 weeks. He's going into matchups with Green Bay and San Francisco. Green Bay. They just got San Francisco, they're not missing their best defensive line piece. So I think it's a great matchup for Swift going forward.
Oh, yeah.
Kyren Williams at 8 with two touchdowns. Tony Pollard, another RB1 finish.
Going Tony RB Pollard. 9.
Saquon, hey, buddy, nice to see you here in the top 10.
Saquon. This might be his first appearance in the top 10. I hate to look and find out if that's true or not.
Right. We got Bill Kroski Merritt coming in at RB11. Nice fill in there for your buddy Roddy. And then CMC, a quiet RB12 finish.
I know, RB12, really disappointing. Just some other names that are really close to the top 12 to give a shout out to. But Blake Corum, he's someone who continues to get work. And it's not just like, he is getting touchdowns, which is, of course, helping. But 11 carries again. He keeps getting these double digit carries. Last week, he had 12. At Arizona, we knew that was going to be it. Arizona's terrible against the run. We kind of expected it. But 11 carries against a tough Detroit offense, I was really surprised to see that. I think Blake Corum's going to have a lot of value these last couple of weeks.
I agree. Let's go to wide receivers. Yeah. Throw it to me or catch it for me.
Yeah.
You know, wide receiver jokes. Insert here. Your top guy.
Oh, my gosh. This one, I'm going to scroll down a little bit all the way to QB5 or wide receiver 5. I know 5, but DJ Moore back from the dead. I love what I'm seeing. Roma Dunze, of course, was like a last-minute scratch. I think he got hurt during warm-ups. We'll cover his injury when we get there. But listen, this is his second time in 4 weeks where DJ Moore's gotten two touchdowns, a 20-point game. Now, of course, in between those two 20-point games is a 3.7 and a 0.1 day. But listen, I mean, just one random day, he's going to win you the consolation bracket, DJ Moore. So, love seeing that.
Yeah, we had Burton leave this game knocked up a little bit. And then, of course, Odunze, healthy scratch, or not the healthy scratch, but the scratch there at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I almost said the same thing.
The foot injury. So, DJ Moore, could he be the recipe? For some championships. I'm going to go with a two actual wide receivers here in the top three. A Pride of Lions, I'm going to toss up here.
Nice. Oh.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, 13 catches, 164 yards, two touchdowns, and a trying effort in that loss to the Rams, 34-41. The J-Mo coming in there with a quiet seven catches, 134 and one. Just a modest day compared to his running mate out there. But these two, absolutely. I mean, when you got Jahmyr Gibbs just not able to get it done, this was a situation where, yeah, the wide receivers took care of business.
The wide receivers did, because this is truly a situation where if I see Amon-Ra have this kind of day, 18 targets, I have to assume it's a day where it's like, okay, this is one of J-Mo's, you know, it's a famine day. You know, he's either going to feast or famine. So just looking at Sun God stats lines, I'd assume J-Mo famined. He did not. He brought in seven of his nine targets for over 100 yards, 134 to be exact. So great day for the Pride of Lions. Great. Great reference there.
Puka Nacua, who went down in this game, from what I've seen, it's cramps was the injury that I've seen linked to him. But either way, he did give you 181 yards on nine receptions. Puka Nacua just, he had this kind of issue in college. I believe this was part of the issue of him falling the way he did. He's just banged up a lot. Granted, he plays through a good amount, so I think you're okay going forward. But a little scary there. Nico Collins, two touchdowns, 85 yards, wide receiver four. Cortland Sutton making a nice splash appearance here at wide receiver six. Jamar Chase at seven. Freaking Jalen Naylor, man. Wide receiver eight. Troy Franklin back up here at nine. Olave at 10. Juwan Jennings, 11. And Mike Evans, 132 yards. Folks, he needed 215 the final games to break his 1,000-yard record. I came up a little short at 132, so we are going to see some magic in these final three games as him and Baker try to break that record.
I cannot wait, because it's so clear. Like, his 12 targets and his 132 yards, like, they're going to try to go for it. I'm excited to see. I wanted to give it just a shout-out because I thought this was funny, but both Jalen Naylor and Juwan Jennings each had five targets, three catches, two touchdowns. So that's just a recipe to being a top 11 wide receiver.
No kidding. Crazy.
And then just looking a little bit deeper, but Brian Thomas Jr., he was kind of like a surprise mentioned. I called out last week as wide receiver 24, wide receiver 13 on the week at this time. So Brian Thomas Jr., like, he might be the consolation bracket hero we searched for. Seven targets, which is one of his, it's his highest since week seven. I mean, I don't know if he's going to turn the corner. He's facing at Denver next week, but we'll get to him on Thursday or Friday's episode.
Yeah, Zay Flowers making another great game with let's call it a good game, 68 yards and a touchdown at wide receiver 17, A.D. Mitchell up there at 16, and JSN, granted, it wasn't an amazing, spectacular game as he's had, but he still had seven catches for 113 yards. Just incredible. And offensive player of the year, JSN.
Oh, it could be JSN, or it could be Michael Wilson without Marvin Harrison Jr. by his side, because, I mean, this one was... He did good. Listen, he was capped because it is Houston's defense. We talked about it's a very good defense. Only brought in five of his 11 targets, but 54 yards. Gets the touchdown to make sure your day is not a bust. So still finishes with very solid wide receiver two numbers.
I'm just now looking at the names you inputted here for our next section. Let's go to tight end. Let's talk booms. Mario, why don't you give us the top tight end on the week?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, okay, I'll give you it. So in the notes, yeah, we always put two names. I put two and three just because I had to give it to my boy at number three. But I'll talk about him. So, yes, I got this one wrong. I'll say it. In the sit start on Friday, I mentioned do not start this guy. I was wrong. Turns out instead of Darnell Mooney, that was going to be force-fed. It was Kyle Pitts with Drake London. Now, I couldn't even say the name. I choked up. But 12 targets, brought in 11 of them. 166 yards, most of any tight end this week. Three big touchdowns. So mentioned like at the top where there's another 40 burger. He had the 40 burger, 40.1 to be exact. Kyle Pitts won you this week, like, which is not a line I'd ever thought I'd say in fantasy football. Credit to him.
His first 100-yard game since week 16, his rookie season.
Oh my god,
absolutely crazy. 166 and three. I saw somewhere this was 9% of his career fantasy football points came in this game. 9%.
Nearly 10% of all of his points came in this game. Unbelievable. Absolutely
bonkers. I saw him all over the place in consolation brackets, but I don't believe I actually saw him in a single one of my playoff brackets this year.
Oh, my goodness. I did see him in one playoff bracket because, like, he did text me. He is just like, he's like, your boy got me the bye week. And I was like, what do you mean? And he just showed me that his win percentage is up to, like, 75% after Thursday because of Kyle Pitts. And I was like, everybody knows I hate Kyle Pitts. But he got me here. He got me here. So why don't you talk about number three? Why don't you talk about number three of the top performing tight ends? Because we all know Trey McBride's up there. He's two. Spoiler. Who's three? Yeah,
Dallas Goedert finished tight end number three, 6 catches, 70 yards, 2 touchdowns. Colby Parkinson, Mario.
Colby Parkinson, down my boy. There.
Look at that look. I thought it was crazy. I still think it's crazy. But 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's been great over the last 6 weeks. Colby Parkinson has 6 touchdowns, and they just lost Devontae Adams. I think Colby Parkinson is a crazy, insane. But might be the right call at a tight end streamer going.
There it is.
Bonkers.
There it is. He's finally seeing the light. I've been splashing his
Goddard.
Eyes with water. Yeah. All right. Dallas Goedert.
Tight
I
end three. I just. These happen. And I roll my.
These happen. These happen. He is. What does he have? I think there's 3 people that have more touchdowns than him in all the NFL. They went back to the shovel passes. That was what worked in the first half of the season. These stupid little flips to him in the end zone, in the red zone. They went back to it this week, and guess what? It worked. So hopefully we see more of that going forward. They have a great matchup at Washington next week, so I would love to see more Goddard action. And you touch on it, but Parkinson. Yeah.
9 touchdowns of the season for Goddard.
9 touchdowns. I'm glad he's back. I'm glad this offense is fixed, but maybe they just played the Raiders. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe so.
And then Parkinson, I mean, you touched on him, but I just need to give him his flowers because, again, besides his one dud in week 13, he's been a top 10 tight end every week since week 10. So, again, the one dud, he didn't get the touchdown, but Colby Parkinson is an easy pickup, especially with his roster percentage of, I'm seeing under 10% right now.
George Kittle does what George Kittle does, 8 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. Dalton Schultz coming in at 6. Dawson Knox at 7, just wanting to shake all hope and confidence you had there in Kincaid. Gunnar Helm, he's been talked about in the streaming article, and I can't kind of believe what we're seeing out of him these last few weeks, but 449 in a touchdown. Travis Kelce, 7 for 70. Is Travis Kelce done? Like, do you think he's about to play his final 3 games of his NFL career?
Yes. Yes, I do. And it's not even going to be riding into the sunset with his boy, which we'll get to his boy, but definitely. I mean, he's getting married next year. You know, like, he's got a future to think about. He's got a podcasting career. Oh, that's going to be competition for us. So, but we respect fellow podcasters.
Those Kelce boys, they don't know what they're up against. Theo Johnson at tight end, 10, 72 yards for him. TJ Hawkinson, look at you finally getting up here at the top. And then Harold Fannin, not as great of a game as I wanted for him, 7 for 48. But he's still, I mean, 14 targets, heavily involved in this offense. I really hope the Browns just don't do anything for offensive skill pieces, and it's just Harold Fannin as tight end 1 next year.
I hope so, too, and just kind of building on this. So Harold Fannin, he had 14 targets, most out of any tight end this week. In the 4 games that Shador has started, Jerry Jeudy has 16 targets. He's at number 2. Number 1 is Fannin with 36 targets. So over double his target. So Fannin should be a nice, easy set and forget going forward. But we'll get to more of those matchups on Friday.
99 targets on the season Fannin has.
Crazy. I feel like half of them became in these last 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's wild. Wild stuff. I guess defense. Baltimore gave you 24 points. They were the leader. A couple interceptions, forced fumble. Pick 6 there from Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
and
Chicago.
Bring up Jason
Chicago.
Myers. 6 touchdowns.
Oh, Jason Myers. Yes, who? I'm sorry, he did this against your Colts, but
we don't have to give any perspective. We're just talking about him as a kicker.
We're just talking about him as an independent kicker. But people like whoever does our social team, if you're looking for a great clip, go back to last week's sit start episode at the 1 hour 10 minute 47 second mark. I wrote it down. That's where I talked about how Jason Myers will be the top kicker this week. Brian said kickers don't matter. He was just getting sensitive that I thought they were going to field goal all over his team. And they did. So Jason Myers. I got Kyle Pitts wrong. I got Jason Myers right. I'll take it.
All is good in the world.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's go to the bust. Let's go to the people that are a little sour. Probably the ones that are on the losing end of a matchup. Let's talk about the players that hurt us. The one that kicked us down and just hurt us. Mario, who hurt you?
Who hurt me? This one, this was my number one bust. He wasn't the absolute worst quarterback of the week, quarterback 18, you know, kind of a mid two. But what hurts the most is being so close when he puts you up a quarterback 7 finish in the previous week, giving you confidence that he's back, he's fixed. Lamar Jackson puts up a dud, quarterback 18 at the time of this recording. Again, at Cincinnati, a terrific matchup. He completed eight completions on 12 attempts. So when you hear, it's like he completed 66% of his passes. That's pretty good. He tried 12 times to pass the ball, completed 8 of them. So horrific day. Got you 15 points.
A Rascal Flatts reference. I love it.
I wasn't expecting it.
Well, let's stay in that game. Let's go to the quarterback on the other side. Let's talk about Andrew. Yeah. Let's talk about Joe Burrow. after the talk this week about not being in love with the game, tired of losing, and he won't say the right thing. He says, yes, I am mad at my head coach in my front office. Yes, I do want to change.
Yeah, you hate
You're
that,
in control it? Here, Joey. Get Zach Taylor out of here. He will go get himself an offensive position somewhere else. I don't care that we're trying to get a man out of his job. We just need to get him in a different job. He's fine. That's he it. Will be okay. But if they don't get head coach, like, Nick Sirianni and Zach Taylor are just the worst.
We didn't need to bring
Joe Burrow kind of the worst in this game. Gave you 7.5 points, 225 yards. We had multiple picks, including that pick 6. Only 5 rushing yards, 0 touchdowns in this game for him or any of the players.
For any Bengal. So really tragic. It's very funny to see how these two players who had very opposite stat lines, like, again, one completed 8 passes. Joe Burrow threw the rock, 39 attempts, 25 completions. Nothing came from it.
Joe Burrow scored 2.2 points. 0.2 more than Phillip freaking Rivers.
Damn.
Yeah, Joe. That wasn't great, buddy.
No. You were not great. Excited. Sorry, Phillip Rivers.
I don't want to talk about it.
Brady Cook did better than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, yeah. This wasn't very exciting either. Dak Prescott coming at QB23. That one hurt you. Sam Darnold, I don't know how many people were leaning on him, particularly in matchups, but this is what we saw last year from Sam Darnold. This is what kept him from getting extended by the Vikings, was him crumbling at the end of the season. And granted, they won this game. But they won the game off 6 field goals. They didn't score a single touchdown. Sam Darnold, I mean, he didn't throw a pick, but he didn't look particularly good in this game.
No, he did not look good, which is more reason why Jason Myers' value is through the roof. But it's – yeah, you probably were – Sam Darnold, we had him in that same line. Admittedly, like, I had him in the same rankings as Trevor Lawrence, and they couldn't be further from the spectrum. And there's just so many names down here that I expected more of, like Justin Herbert – you know, that was going to be a tough game against Kansas City, but quarterback 25 finish at this moment. Not great. So Love with 17. Backs. Yeah. Let's do running backs.
Let's do some running backs. Let me start with, let's talk some Jahmyr Gibbs. We brought him up a little bit ago, but less than 40 yards rushing, 20 yards receiving, 0 touchdowns. He's actually got a nasty little trend here, too. Since their bye week, 0 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 0-3, 0-3, and then this past week, 0 touchdowns. So, around, he's going to crush it. But are we going to be scared? Are we going to be scared in the championship game? If he scores 3 touchdowns next week, we have a problem for championship.
You sit him. You sit him championship
You're gonna
week.
Sit him. You're going to have to sit him. Give you 7 points this week.
You make the push. Because some leagues do like the week 17, week 18 championship. I'm against that. But if you have Jahmyr Gibbs, you have to be like, guys, let's try it this one time. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely. Because that's going to scare the bejeebers out of me if he gets 3 touchdowns next week.
Yeah, but I agree. I think he's probably one of the bigger busts because he got you here. Hopefully he got you the bye because he definitely let you down this week. And again, we talked about the two wide receivers finished 1 and 3 of Jameson Williams and Sun God. So there's only so much rock to go around. I'm going to go to a team that the Jets, I don't even know how to describe the Jets, but they're the Jets. Breece Hall, bummer of a day, 12 carries, 23 yards, really nothing else to write about. Just bad day for Breece Hall. But good day for Jets fans because they fired their defensive coordinator.
They're doing whatever they can to hold on to Aaron Glenn.
Oh my gosh. They have no interceptions this year. They have no picks. The guy they traded to the Cowboys, Quinton Williams. Quinton Williams got a pick yesterday against JJ McCarthy.
Well, they traded away a guy who gets picks for picks. So maybe that's where they were hoping it kind of,
they misinterpreted what picks meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Ashton Jeanty. Dude, the Raiders looked god awful. Granted, they were playing Philly.
Raiders are a bummer.
Philly's
Raiders
got a pretty good defense, bummer. If you haven't heard. But 35 on the ground, 7 through the air. Ashton Jeanty plays Houston next week. I'm benching him.
You can't start him. Right. You cannot.
Like, Omarion Hampton was a guy I had around RB30 this past week, and like he finished at 34. It felt gross not putting him in here after this long wait. But a matchup's a matchup. And when it comes to Kansas City, when it comes to Houston, when it comes to the Rams, especially running backs, I don't want to play them, even when they're studs. Look at Jahmyr Gibbs. If you bench Gibbs, you call that person an idiot. But if you bench Gibbs this week, it might have helped you. So, two sides of this coin.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but we bench Gibbs because we knew it was a 3-0 touchdown week. Like, we looked at the numbers. So, that's why we benched
him. You don't mess with patterns, man.
Patterns are everything. Just going to keep ragging on some of these bad teams and their running backs. Quinshon Judkins, early on, he was Studkins. I remember we talked about like how he would probably be like a second, third rounder if we did a redraft. But that was maybe 2 months ago at this point. And since that point, he's really tanked in value. 3 points this past week, 8.9 the week before. Had double digits week 13 and 14. But just overall, his numbers have been trending downward. He does get Buffalo at home next week. Could be a good bounce back. We'll have to see.
Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker, both of them hurt you in this game. Even if you got to play both of them in one spot, you would have been upset. They play the Rams this next week, so I think it's just an easy fade for both those guys.
Yep. Kareem Hunt, he didn't get a touchdown. He's kind of like he's a little bit more than a touchdown or bust, but this game it was just pure bust. It was no touchdown and a bust, so hate to see that.
Yep. Anybody else you want to talk about before we get out of here and go to wide receivers?
Bucky Irving was 32, right under Jahmyr Gibbs. Kind of something to monitor, you know. He didn't cost you the week, but it caught my eye. But that's it. Let's move on to running wide receivers.
Moving on, wide receivers. Just like most of the year, you know, you got a top 12-ish guys, and then those points start really trailing off there. I don't know where do we want to start here.
I mean, I think we're just going to name the wide receiver bust segment after this guy, Justin Jefferson. I'll say nine even looked better today than he has in past games. That didn't matter. The connection is just not there. They tried. Jefferson had 8 targets, 2 of them were catchable, 22 yards. He's another guy where it's like, we really have to look. It's like, can we start him next week? Because this was at Dallas, Brian. We talked about it's like we asked if we want to fade Justin Jefferson. And granted, he did good, better than his last 2 weeks of 1.4 and 2.1. He had a whole 3 points this game. But even at Dallas, he couldn't get it done.
Yeah, this was the matchup I wanted. This was the one I was like, look, I'm going to put him in my lineup. It's the playoffs. I'm willing to give it a shot. And like Jordan Addison only had 66 yards. Like both of them combined just look putrid. This isn't great. I don't know what to do. This isn't fun. This isn't fantasy football. But at the same time, it is, folks. We do this every year. This is why we love the game. That's why I love it. If it was easy, we wouldn't play. Because we pick the right players. You'd start them every single week, and you wouldn't have to do waivers. No. This is what makes it fun. If there was no chance for you to lose, you wouldn't play the damn game.
That's right.
George Pickens. Dude, what's going on with George?
Oh, my gosh. Put his face on a milk carton, because I have not seen him. My fantasy team hasn't seen him. Where'd he go?
A combined 11 points over the last 2 weeks, 33 and 37 yards. That's on 8 catches. Georgie, you're about to get paid. Or is he just like, I'm getting the franchise tag. It doesn't matter. I don't have to keep performing. We're not going to the playoffs. I don't care.
He saw the T. Higgins special. He's like, listen, guys, I'm going to get tagged. It don't matter how I do.
You have a chance to make some coin. Absolute money if you come out here. But, if you do that, dude, you're going to lose out on some money. And I'm going to put you in my flex spot. I'm not even put you in a starting wide receiver spot if you keep doing this.
He'll be lucky if he makes it there. Just looking at some of these other names we have available.
Colts wide receivers, pass catchers, I'm just done.
Yeah, I think Alec Pierce is a drop. We'll get to things like that. But I'm looking at him right now, and I'm looking at my third defense I'm trying to defend. So I think Alec Pierce is on the chop block.
Yo.
They're just old man Rivers. Someone, this one is going to be more of a team shout out. Who do you think had the best fantasy day among Chargers wide receivers? Because we knew QJ was out, so it's not him. That's your hint.
It was Lambert, wasn't it? The rookie? Like six.
It was.
Rookie?
Yeah, it was Keandre Lambert-Smith, who had one catch for 16 yards, but it was also into the end zone. So credit to Lambert-Smith, who finished as wide receiver 39. The other guys, Trey Harris was the second best. Another who's who. No disrespect.
Second round rookie, let's go, Trey.
Yep, and then 48 quickly, like very shortly behind him, was Keenan Allen. There's a familiar face, but wide receiver 48. And finally, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver 76. He killed you this game. If you started him, he killed you.
Yeah, this was we talked about this at the start section. Like, I wasn't excited to play any Chargers. Like, just across the board, I was kind of fading all of them as more like wide receiver threes, running back threes, flex situations. So this was partially expected. It's just a bummer.
Huge bummer. Huge, huge bummer.
Devonta Smith, I almost called him Devonta Six, but because that's all he gave you was 6 points. Devonta Smith, just
a
middling day for him. Probably didn't necessarily help you, hurt you a little bit. Just disappointing across the board. Stephon Diggs, he had his revenge game, and he said, "Nope, I'm done. We're good. We got
enough revenge
back
for
there.
One
We're
day.
Make him run up and down the field."
Yep. Yeah, he was the last one I wanted to give a shout out to. Diggs was just because I get the last time around, it looked so good.
Keyshawn
the revenge
Booty,
game.
Man, I was so excited. So Keyshawn Booty, I play several bets and parlays with his over at 29.5 yards on Friday. On Sunday, it was at 30.5. I still placed a few bets with that. He got 30 yards on the dot. So all my Friday bets hit. And Sunday, he just...
Vegas knew.
It was the first drive. It was the first freaking drive. He got 30 yards. Yep. And oh, man. I just sweat that one all day, and it just never came to fruition.
Damn. Credit to Vegas getting that one right.
Alec Pierce gave you a one catch, 16 yards. That one hurt.
That the biggest thing there is it's just like, I don't know. Like, I held on to him going into the week. I was nervous about old man River, but it's tough. You see, he's the second grandfather to ever complete a touchdown pass.
Brett Favre is the first, right?
Yes. Yeah. There you go. There's your trivia question. Who's the first?
Everybody was making a big deal about him being a grandfather. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Brett Favre was one of his last couple years. In the last couple of years of his league, but you know, it's been so long. Brett Favre, and he doesn't have a great name anymore. But
nope,
yeah, no tight ends, the stinkers. Brock Bowers. When your quarterback doesn't even throw for 100 yards, it's kind of hard to do great. 6 catches, 28 yards. Brock Bowers, Vegas. We should have taken two Vegas players in the top 20. Why did we do that?
You know, in retrospect, that killed one of my drafts. Like, I can go back and look at like what went wrong. Yeah, the Vegas turn, not it. That killed me. And just another note about that game, this is just some Eagles, propaganda, but the Raiders as a whole had 75 yards of offense. The Eagles backups had 79 yards of offense. So that just puts in perspective how abysmal this Raiders offense is.
Hey, Tanner McKee's good, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's
pockets of Eagles fans that think he's better than Hurts.
I mean, those guys are delusional. But Tanner might get paid in the offseason. The Raiders might give him a call.
They need to give a few teams or a few players a call. Juwan Johnson coming in at tight end 19. That one really hurt me. 30 yards on four catches. Dalton Kincaid was the one we're looking at. 34 yards on three catches. Not great. AJ Barner, I thought he had a chance to do well. Ben Sennett coming in at 23 after the Zach Ertz injury. A lot of lower names, but Tyler Warren, nobody hurts you more than him. If you did stay in the Flames and ride with it, tight end 27, yeah. 19 total yards on three catches.
Yeah, Warren was probably out of all of the indie pass catchers, he was the one I was most hopeful for, right? Because, you know, we talk about it, we think really old quarterback, really immobile or really young, go to the check down. Didn't happen.
If they need a tush-push, I think that's your best chance of starting Tyler Warren. If you think that there's a chance that he hits a tush-push in the game. But other than that, like, you should be making streaming decisions based on a team that you think is going to get a tush-push opportunity.
And, yeah, you should not. Just keeping it in that division, Brenton Strange. Listen, if Brian Thomas Jr. is getting all this action, it's got to come at somebody's expense. And looks like it's coming at Strange's. Three targets, only one catch for 26 yards. And this one, which was probably my bust of the week for tight ends, but Mark Andrews, buddy. Oh, my goodness. The best matchup we could hope for. We heard those rumors that likely was hurt. Talked about how the tight end hurt his tight end. Likely ended up playing this game, but still, Mark Andrews, 2.8 points. Just abysmal.
All righty. Let's go to the injuries. And, folks, this is going to hurt. This one's bad. There are some gross ones in here. Starting off, let's start with the, I guess, most detrimental ones. A couple would-be Super Bowl contending teams. One team is no longer contending for a Super Bowl.
Nope.
They're not even contending for the playoffs because the Chiefs, for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era, is out of contention for the playoffs. Yeah, they're out, and Mahomes tears an ACL at the end of the game. Still technically has not taken a snap when he's not contending for the playoffs. So the Brady-Patrick Mahomes argument still lives. We got the GOAT going. But yeah, Patty Mahomes, done for the year.
Done for the year. And I think one of the toughest things is that because Mahomes got hurt, and it, like a bad injury, right? Like an ACL. He didn't sprain his finger. But like nobody can relish in the fact that the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs because he tore his ACL, serious injury. So should be back. But yeah, but the Chiefs are out. You know, like the king is dead. And have you seen all the comparisons about how, like, him and Brady both tore their ACL in their ninth season, how each of them coming off a Super Bowl loss, how they each had, I think, three wins before tearing it. So it's crazy to see.
Yeah, wild stuff. Wild stuff. Michael Parsons, we don't usually talk a lot of defense here, but this one's relevant. You know, he was a part of a huge trade, blockbuster trade coming into the season. Packers looking to be one of the top teams in the NFC. ACL, he's down. He's done. They're going to take a big hit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when Micah Parsons, we don't really talk defensive players, but Micah Parsons, like, I definitely picked up the Packers defense in a few leagues when this trade got completed. So definitely impactful. And we will, I'd say, give a bump to the teams facing the Packers now. This one, we talked about it a teensy bit early, but Devontae Adams hurt his hamstring and they play Thursday night. So
he's
from what I'm
seeing.
Really?
For the fantasy season, I think.
Yeah.
If they get the first round bye, he could be out for 4 weeks. It gives him a full month to recover for the playoffs. I don't see any reason why they would try and rush him back at any point. At least the next 2 weeks, you know, he's done. So, like, as far as fantasy is concerned, I feel like stick a fork in him.
I agree with that. Like I said, like, especially for this upcoming it's a Thursday night game. There's absolutely no time. And he is on the older side. So I don't like that call, but I think it's the correct call.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He was having one incredible season, especially for his age, too.
Unbelievable. Woody Marks is someone worth mentioning. He left the game fairly early with the ankle injury. From what it sounds like hearing from him and his coach, seems like he could have returned, and they were just being extra cautionary about it. I think it's because this game never really got out of hand for them. But he should be back next week. We'll knock on wood and, of course, monitor the situation.
Roma Dunze had been dealing with that foot injury for the last couple of weeks, was a early, right before kickoff and out. So that one's upsetting. Luther Burden also a little banged up, so we're going to keep an eye on that. But as Mario alluded to earlier, DJ Moore could have a big part of your fantasy
crazy
playoff run.
Crazy. What year is it? I don't want to get to
this one.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, okay. Yeah, this one I was going to leave for you. He's your boy, but I can see why it would hurt too much. Christian Watson hurt his chest. I feel like a chest injury isn't something you see a lot in football, but he hurt his chest. I don't know what's the status with him. I don't know how much time he could miss. This is one definitely have to monitor during the week.
From what I've seen, there's a chance that we could still see him back this week. I guess it's not supposed to be too serious, but definitely something we want to keep an eye on going through, because at this point, like, Matthew Golden, like, that's the field stretcher we want to depend on. Have a great form this season.
No, it has. You're down bad. Like, you're right. Looking at those pass catching options, like, they lost Kraft already. Dobbs has been, you know, in and out of the injury. Is Watson now too? Yeah, Golden might just be the last guy standing, getting 20 targets. I want to touch on this pair of running backs. So first, I want to talk about Tootin. He had finger surgery Monday, and it seems like he's going to miss a few weeks. So that's great for Etienne, who just had a terrific week against the Jets. That's something to monitor. And Bam Knight hurt his ankle. I think he might actually already be ruled out for this upcoming week, week 16. So going to have to already be looking at options there.
Other ones to note, just kind of keep an eye on Xavier Worthy with concussion. Ricky Pearsall with a knee injury, if you're even still, you know, rostering him. Samaje Perine with an ankle injury. He's popped up on the injury report again. Devin Neal with a hamstring injury. RJ Harvey with ribs. And then Javonte Williams left the game for a bit with a shoulder injury.
Yeah. Bad week. Sweet. Week 15. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to a break real quick, and we're going to go to the waiver wire. You ready?
Let's do it. And I'm going to start something a little wackadoo. I'm going to jump to tight end because he's the guy I'm most excited about. And then we'll work our way back to the other positions. But Colby Parkinson, to me, is one of the top, if not the top guys. One, because we talked about it. He has 6 touchdowns over the last 6 weeks. He has 1 finish as tight end, worse than tight end 10, which was in the 20s range. So it kind of killed you. But listen, it's tight end streamers anyways. They all kill you. And we already talked about it a few times already. Davante Adams is definitely going to miss this Thursday game, week 16, almost certainly going to miss week 17 as they try to look towards the playoffs. Colby Parkinson, we know that they love this 3 tight end formation as they get towards the red zone. Colby Parkinson has been the touchdown targeter. He's got to be a top guy for me. Even if you're hurting at other positions, I just see Colby Parkinson is just a tremendous value at the position right now.
Nice. I'm going to play the game, pick on the Bengals, Darren Waller. Darren Waller is my tight end that I'm all for. I'm all pumped about. Again, we haven't seen him play tonight. Hopefully he gets a little bit more of that split that him and Dulcich were working with last week. But the Bengals allowing 8.7 points over expectation to each team. So honestly, I like both sides of that. Give me Darren Waller against the best matchup in the Bengals, and give me Mike Gesicki against the third best matchup against the Dolphins there. T. Higgins, we don't have any news. He should miss. He should miss another game. Maybe that's more just my opinion, but like, the guy had 2 concussions in 3 weeks. Like, sit him out. You're now not playing for anything. Let's just let Mike Gesicki have some magic this week, okay?
Oh my goodness. Mike Gesicki did not have any magic last week. He did not have magic last week.
One catch, I think, is all he had.
Yeah, skimmed over that in the bust just for our sake. But yeah, he's someone, yeah, I think Gesicki could have a good bounce back here. Last tight end I had on my list, and we talked about him in the bust, so maybe not a great thing, but Strange, I still think he could have a good bounce back. I think he's better than some of these options out there, just because we've seen him do it pretty consistently. 2 bad weeks in a row, but I think he's due. I think he's going to get bouncing back, and I don't think Brian Thomas Jr. is all of a sudden fixed for the consolation bracket. So I like me some Strange.
So you could see Patrick Surtain shutting down a little Jacoby Myers, Brian Thomas Jr. at all time. You know, one of those two, if not both of them, depending on if he moves or not. I think you could see a lot more open up for Strange.
Love the really good point there. Thank you.
Outside of tight ends, you want more? Check out the streaming article. That's all I've got anyway. Mario, you got any more?
No, that's it. Like I said, honestly, it's just Colby Parkinson. He's rostered in. I'm seeing just about 10% of leagues. This guy has everywhere. He has to be everywhere, right? I don't know. He's someone I really think has been undervalued, and we're singing his praises, and it's tight end. It blows my mind. But let's talk about running backs. Let's give the people the meat and potatoes positions what they want. The first one I want to talk about is going to be Bill, Corey Kroski, Merritt, who, listen, at the peak of the season, the beginning of the season, he was probably rostered everywhere. I'm talking 60, 70%. I'm looking now, he is rostered in just about 45% of leagues. And this really comes from Chris Rodriguez Jr. was a very late inactive last week, week 15, due to a groin injury. And Rodriguez has looked good. Now, granted, they had a terrific matchup against the Giants, and I think they're facing the Eagles this upcoming week. So that's a tougher matchup. It's been confirmed that Mariota will be the starter the rest of the season. They shut down Jaden Daniels. So, but listen, if it's just going to be a one, it's a backfield that's normally a mess, right? Like between McNichols, Roddy, and Bill. But if there's one fewer mouth to feed, if it's just going to be Bill, we love the opportunity there. So I'm really excited about Bill this week.
And the championship week too. He gets Dallas week 17. That is just, even if you're not picking him up to play him this week, you're blocking somebody from this week. It's all about the week after.
I love that.
I'm going to go with Michael Carter. I don't know if we actually mentioned Bam Knight with the ankle injury. Wait, you did, right?
Yeah. And the two in. Yeah, it was like a little combo,
Okay, yeah. So yeah, we got the ankle injury with Bam Knight. Full circle here, folks.
I think we started
with Michael Carter early in the season. We're going back to him. Like, just absolutely out there for the early downs. He crushed the work. When it came down to third downs, he was out there 4-3 compared to DeMarcado. Two-minute drill, same thing. He had the majority of the snaps. The early downs, 34-5-1. Like, this looks like he's going to be a workhorse back. And for one of the best quarterbacks, fantasy, in football right now, Jacoby Brissett. So, Michael Carter, if you need to fill in, you lost somebody, this is the guy I'd be pivoting to as well.
I love that call. And you're so right about this. This Arizona, it's just a cursed position running back, right? Like, James Conner went down. Trey Benson, you know, I remember everybody blowing their fab on him just for him to play a game and then never get activated again. So, and you're right. And then they pivoted to Carter. Looks like Carter's time is back. So I like Carter a lot. He's available everywhere. Looks like 9% rostered.
Your championship-winning running backs could be Bill and Michael Carter getting Dallas and Cincinnati in the championship. Like, this could be RB 1 and 2 on the week for championship week. How crazy is that?
And then you're going to have those zero RB truthers coming out, those keyboard warriors, and be like, see, guys, this is why you draft Justin Jefferson and Brian Thomas Jr. with your top two picks. So you can have these stud running backs, these zero running backs. Unbelievable. It's
crazy.
We could do the spiel for the backups, like the Algiers, the Blake Corums. I do like Corum as kind of like a backup plus. We continue to say his name in the top 24-ish range. He has been eating more and more offensive snaps. Looks like Corum played about 46% of offensive snaps this past week. So that's the most for him in a game in his NFL career. He's still the backup there, but kind of like what you mentioned about how if they plan on resting Adams as they make way for the playoff push, I wouldn't be surprised if they're just making sure Kyren Williams is rested up a little bit for the playoff push, give the young Blake a couple extra carries. So I like that one a lot.
I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
One of the best matchups rest of season. Saints get the Jets and Tennessee. But with Devin Neal now getting hurt, Alvin Kamara's hurt, Kendre Miller's hurt, Devin Neal is hurt. Those were the three, like the talented young guys. I like Kendre Miller. I liked Devin Neal, both these two out of TCU and Kansas. I liked them as prospects, you know, so I was kind of excited. But now we're looking at Evan Hull
coming out of
Indianapolis, I think originally drafted him. Then Audric Estime, Denver took him a couple years ago.
Yeah,
I'm not excited for either one of these backs. And the way they mix it up, like, Audric Estime had the 2-minute drills, you know, 5-2 had the carries. Also, the third down carries were split 4-4. But then Audric Estime, like, I don't know if I want to touch this at all because I don't know who's going to. It could be Taysom Hill. It still could be Taysom Hill. Tyler Shuck's running the ball. I just don't. These are the names to know. I don't know if I want them, though.
You're absolutely right about that because there are potentially a bell cow is out there with two incredible matchups. We just don't know if you can trust this guy, right? Like,
DFS, I'm looking at it. This sounds so much fun for DFS, folks.
That's so true. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Evan Hull, I don't know. I'm not blowing the fab bucket on him, but he's a name to know. And listen, like, if waiver's clear and he's still available, why not? Oh, here's one that actually has kind of been seeing a little bit, but Malik Davis keeps getting a little bit more work. Like Javonte Williams isn't going anywhere, but he did have a little bit of a shoulder injury during week 15. And Williams obviously still going to be the lead back as long as he's healthy. But Davis just had a few more opportunities. I think he had a touchdown this past week as well. I don't have the number in front of me. But Davis is someone I've been liking more and more of. Yeah, Malik Davis was running back 21 right now, and he's had a touchdown in two of the last three. Sandwiched in between there, though, is a 0.6 day, but something, a name to know.
Also for the Texans, Jawar Jordan, J-A-W-H-A-R. He's been in the league for a couple of years. He has never been relevant enough where I've looked up to actually say his first name, but just, again, name to know, 40 marks is he's day-to-day Nick Chubb. You know, he was limited last week, so you're deep enough leagues, you might have to go to him. Hopefully you're not, but yeah, just name to know. Also, you know, the Devin Singletary's, the Tyler Algiers, Jalen Wright, Samaje Perine's, all these backups, you know, their guy in front of them is a little banged up. Just pivot options if you are in a tricky situation. If you're going into starting lineup with multiple guys questionable, these are the names you should know.
Absolutely love that. It's especially when there's, because we'll give you a lot of good defensive options as well, but like this is kind of the opportunity you could like drop your defense or drop a kicker, unless he's Jason Myers, like just kind of have extra depth, because like you said, with the questionable, you never know when it's going to be a late, like we just saw. And I even think for the Monday night game, I think I saw Jalen Warren was like a very late questionable.
Mm-hmm. So that'd be Kenny Gainwell.
Yep. Yeah, another name to know.
Wide receivers, are you got any more running backs?
That's it.
Cool. Wide receivers, no. I'm gonna start with Jaden Reed, of course, with Christian Watson questionable, play a different position, but Jalen Reed is by far their most talented wide receiver. You know, it's him and Watson, and I think there's a huge tier break after that, so Jaden Reed could be just absorbing targets. Good team. Jordan Love's been playing pretty good as of late, so Jaden Reed is a decent pickup. Dump your fab for him if you need to.
I love the Jaden Reed thing. We talked about it. Like all the pass catchers are falling and staying in that division and another team where pass catchers are falling. DJ Moore, who I got to say I'm seeing right now, looks like he's rostered in close to 75% of leagues. I didn't expect that when I began my spiel on him, but he's someone I'm shocked he's rostered in that many leagues. He's available in most of the ones I'm in, but just with all the other pass catchers, with Rome, with Luther Burden, somebody's got to catch balls, and it doesn't seem like Loveland is developing into that player we expected him to be, at least his rookie year. There's lots of time. So DJ Moore is a name I'm keeping an eye out for.
I'm just going to throw in Luther Burden there. DJ Moore, he could be the one you want to highlight on. I just really like the talent of Luther Burden. I think he's one of those he might not need as much. He's going to be a little bit more efficient, just being younger, more explosive. So just, you know, looking between the two. And then finally, Jaden Higgins for the Texans continues to be out there a lot during for 12 personnel when it's just two wide receivers. He's big. He's tall. He can get the touchdown. So you may not necessarily need as much as other receivers may need.
Yeah, I like Higgins a lot. I think he had a bad game this last week, but his first time in quite a while. He's someone we've been banging the drum on. A Jet, I'm going to talk about A.D. Mitchell, former Colt. He's kind of been a little hot and cold these last couple weeks, finishing as wide receiver 16, 65, 647. But if there's a Jet to roster, and I don't know if Garrett Wilson's coming back, and this was against a tough matchup at Jacksonville. His next two are at New Orleans and New England. So two neutral to good matchups rest of season. I love him as a flex option. I love him as a wide receiver 3. I think there's a lot worse options available out there.
And these are going to be a little bit higher owned, but QJ missed this past game, and Keenan Allen has been just the most frustrating player, especially over the last couple months. If for some reason they are on waiver wires, it's probably going to be closer to more 10-team leagues, maybe not quite 12, but they do get Dallas, the best matchup here in Week 16. I'm cool with playing all Chargers pass catchers, all four of them. Obviously, somebody's going to probably disappoint just between that and Hampton being out there, but it's Dallas. It doesn't get juicier than that. So if Keenan's out there, QJ's out there, and you're looking for a smart start, I think you could do a lot worse than those two.
Yeah.
Oh, and Tutu Atwell. Let's throw him out there as well. Jordan Whittington as well.
Yes, for LA.
Adams going down, evaluating if you're in that much of a pickle, those guys are. Tutu Atwell needs like one play. He could be one catch for 60 yards and a touchdown. So
yeah, he's a rocket. Couple quarterback lightning round.
Yeah.
All right. Brissett is far and away the number one. He had his worst finish as a starter, but that's just what Houston does to quarterbacks. His next two matchups are terrific, hosting Atlanta, and then the championship week is at Cincinnati. I love Brissett. I truly expect him to be a top 10 quarterback each of those 2 weeks, and he's only rostered in about 30% of leagues, which is criminal. I'll highlight Kirk Cousins. I mean, granted, this last game of 26 points is better than is just about his last three starts combined. But again, he's facing, he's got the Rams in week 17, which I don't like to see, but I'm not as afraid of Arizona week 16. After that, it's kind of a cliff for me. I don't know if I'm trusting 9 just yet. I think that was just a Dallas bump. Who else?
Call me crazy. I'm going to throw out, I mean, granted, they as your prediction of the Panthers winning the division was coming true going into Sunday, and they just don't want to take it easily. But Bryce Young, as Mario alludes to, like, when they're at home, they do a lot better. They are at home, but they're playing the Buccaneers, who have not allowed a quarterback to score less than 22 points over the last 5 weeks. They have just been giving it up. Jalen Coker's been a part of the offense more and more. Lee Geta showed up over the last few games for big splash plays. And Bryce Young, he did a lot to win them, to put them in position to win the game at the end of the game yesterday. Granted, he's gonna come up short sometimes, but that's just natural for him.
That was intentional. That was intentional. Don't do that. Our short king.
But Bryce Young, I think he could be, you know, if you just lost all hope in, you know, Lamar Jackson, if you lost that on Jay Daniels, streaming, I think that Bryce Young might be a good play this week. Fourth best matchup against the Buccaneers.
What I say about Bryce Young, who I am a big fan of, the Panthers cannot be favorites. If the Panthers are favorites, you have to fade them, because that's what happened going into this game. They were favorites and they lose outright. It's just the Panthers don't know when they're in the position to win. They don't know how to act when people have faith in them, which is okay. They're just underdogs at heart, which is ironic because they're cats, but
shut me down real quick if you have to. But against Tennessee this week, is Gardner Minshew for the Kansas City Chiefs? Is he a streaming option against Tennessee with Rashee Rice out there?
Oh my gosh. I love Minshew mania, but oh my gosh. We will get to what to do with the pass catchers when it comes time on Friday, because I need time to process what to do with them. Because as we were talking about some of these wide receiver options, I was really thinking in my head, it's like A.D. Mitchell or Rashee Rice. Like,
oh God.
We'll save that for Friday. That's a little teaser. That's a little teaser. I think that's all the quarterbacks.
Jacoby Brissett, 44% of leagues in ESPN. If he got dropped going into the
criminal matchup. Criminal.
Trevor Lawrence, 47%. I think you can keep playing him. Marcus Mariota, 18%. I think you can play him in just about any format league as well.
Yep. Who does he have? Mariota. He's got Eagles this week, and I think they have a good matchup.
I think it's the Giants 17. Week after. Or no, okay. It's
might be
Cowboys, because we were just talking about Bill.
Yes. Yeah, we were just talking about Bill. So
I think Commanders play four straight divisional games, including
divisional games. Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, it's gonna be must miss TV. Quick. Nice.
I think defenses. That's about it. Anything else for the people?
Quick defenses. Yeah. So again, some of these are just going to be rostered already, but I just want to go over like who I have power ranked the highest. Number one's gonna be the Texans. They're definitely rostered, but they're playing the Raiders, who might be the new Titans, which is sad to see. Then we kind of talk about like the Chiefs are playing the Titans, whether or not you have faith in Gardner Minshew, the Titans are still just a defense worth targeting every single week. After that, the Saints are someone, I mean, we've kind of alluded to them. I feel like as early as week 13, 14, but their last 2 weeks, the Saints, they play the Jets and Brady Cook and then the Titans week 17. So I love the Saints. And finally the Bills, another one that may be rostered kind of high. but they have the Browns this upcoming week. And I'll give you one more just in case all those are rostered too much, but the Giants, they're bad offense. They're a great defense and they're playing the Vikings. And I feel like you're going to get one of two nines. Like either he's going to give you 9 points in defense or or not. But I would take that chance.
I love that the broadcast, like, yeah, last week was the first game he didn't throw a pick. Oh, interception.
Immediately to former Jet. That was the Quentin Williams one.
I think 49ers can be talked about here, too. Just playing the Colts. Like,
yeah. Rose,
the mistakes are going to come.
I didn't want to say it.
That unathletic fall. I felt so bad. Like,
what's he doing?
When these guys are in their 20s, in their prime, like, athletic ability, I have no problem making fun of them. They are the top 1%, 1% of the 1% of athletes. Oh, yeah. So when they have a little blunder, we're going to make fun of them because they don't do that. But, like, yeah. It was hard to make fun of and laugh at Phillip Rivers. Like, I felt like I was out there laughing at my dad. Like,
yeah.
Struggling. And I'm like, this
I want to help him up.
Me to, like, I wanted to. I'm like, guys, hold on. Let him get his bear. Phil, come on. Phil, get up. Grab your walker. Come on over here, buddy. We got this.
You know, like, I like to consider myself a stand-up guy. I'll hold the door open for, you know, an elderly person in the store. Like, that's what I want to do to Phillip Rivers when I see him on the field. Give him a hand.
Dude, don't bend over. I'll snap the ball and hand it to you. You just wait right there. I got you, buddy. You need help getting the applesauce off the top shelf? Here you go.
Oh, my gosh. Who else did the Colts call? Like, is Tony Rich this unhealthy?
Actually, he is eligible to start practicing. I saw this week. But
my goodness.
At this point, you just pulled Phillip Rivers out of retirement.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers did not delay his Hall of Fame chances by for his comeback to start one game.
Also, there is the rumor that so after 5 years, your kids no longer get health insurance from the NFL. Rumor was that this was intentional, so he can get another double dipping back in that 5-year resurge in his insurance.
Which, wow!
I'm sure his wife's probably like had 2 more kids since he joined.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, twins for sure. All right,
awesome. Well, folks, we're getting out of here. We're shutting it down. Don't miss tomorrow's episode with Brett. And, of course, Mario and I will be back with the start-sit episode later this week. We'll be getting you ready for your divisional rounds of the fantasy football playoffs. Mario, if you're looking for more of you, where can they find you?
Oh, great question, Brian. Where can they find me? You'll find me on Twitter, at Mario Damo Jr. I tweet nonsense. Right now I'm just retweeting a lot of Eagles Pro Bowl votes, you know, like just trying to be part of the team, helping them out. But otherwise, you'll find me here, big part of the QB list, a family. We got great articles every single week. Brian already talked about the streaming tight end article. Check that one out. We have the What We Saws, which I believe we wrapped up. Last week was the last one. So big celebration to the team.
Nice.
Great
job,
work all season.
And ladies?
Yeah, everybody. Job, everybody. Yeah. And that's it. So, and also, you'll find me, of course, this upcoming Friday, Brian and I doing the sit start. But Brian, the people need more Brian. They have too little Brian.
Well, if you're looking for that, then you head on over to my Twitter where you can find too_much_Brian. All my stuff will be rung up through there. All the stuff I'll be working on for the rest of the season and through the off season. Fun madness over there. Too Much Fantasy Football is my other show. But yes, you can find us here every single week. Got a few more shows this week. We're going to change it up over the last couple weeks. But like, subscribe. We can't thank y'all enough for being here. QBList.com. We'll see y'all next time.